views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from Hubbard Radio here at KKNW AM 1150 from rainy, drizzly, cloudy Seattle. You may be listening somewhere in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island on WBLQ AM 1230. Somewhere across the United States on cable radio network. I think there are several stations in Australia, but anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you are going to be so glad you joined us. We have a really big guest today, somebody I absolutely adore, and we're going to be talking about something fascinating. But before I let the cat out of the bag, which is a terrible expression, I'm sorry to say, I'd like to say hello to my better half here in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers.
I don't think it's that bad. I'd like to know the origin of that, but I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's something silly, really.
Well, cat doesn't like to be in a bag, that's for sure.
That's for darn sure. Although yeah. I did see a kangaroo being thrown into a bag earlier today on the internet. I don't know why. I think it was just a joke on, like, how do you catch a kangaroo? Uh-huh. And it was just this little baby. And the guy, no, I know, it's good. He didn't do anything. Right. He just walked in front of it, and the kangaroo just looked in it, and then I guess it's more of a knocked, it triggered the asleep mode.
Oh, okay.
And it just, like, fell into the bag, and then he just walked off.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, it's the same thing. Like, if you throw, a shark on its back or whatever, uh-huh. and you rub its belly, or, you know, right, not like right. I do it all the time, right? You know, it won't be as...
Yeah, I want to hear stories about that.
I will. Yeah. I'll send you the GoPro information.
Wonderful.
I have no idea where we went this.
Well, you know, I'm really grateful for all that you do here so that our listeners can hear this conversation. And before I get into talking about the guest, I want to make sure to get my announcement out of the way because, you know, I'm going to be so interested in the conversation, I'll forget by the end. I've done it too many times. I did want to mention to everybody that... If you are in the Seattle area on Monday, February 15th, which is a long weekend, I will be presenting at the Women of Wisdom Conference. I will be presenting The Vibration of Change, and I will be teaching people how there is a universal model that covers all kinds of positive lasting change, regardless of the approach you take, regardless of the kind of change. And knowing that, and knowing that there are different personality types dealing with change, I can help you find a way to positive lasting change more easily. It's empowering people in a new way. You haven't heard of this before, I assure you, unless you've been to one of my Vibration of Change classes, because my book's not out yet. So anyway, Monday, February 15th, from 9 until noon at the Women of Wisdom Conference. You can go to christineupchurch.com to find out more about that. Okay. Got the announcement out of the way. I'm so excited about today's guest because this is somebody I absolutely adore. I'm talking about Denise Lynn. She is a best-selling author of, I think it's 16 books right now, and she has written about all sorts of things that are fascinating. Feng Shui, healing, dreams, soul coaching. She wrote a cookbook with her daughter, Meadow Lynn, who I also absolutely adore. She has a new book out called Kindling the Native Spirit, Sacred Practices for Everyday Life. She's got a lot of online courses as well. Denise has researched healing traditions from cultures around the world for more than four decades. She is a renowned lecturer, author, and visionary. And she gives seminars on, I think it's something like six continents. How many continents are there, Benny? I don't remember. My son would be totally ashamed of me. But I think it's just about every continent she's taught on. She appears extensively on television, on radio, and she's had a fascinating journey that began with a near-death experience at age 17. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about past lives, journeying into our past lives so that we can create miracles, change, healing, transformation, and expansion in our current life today. And this is something that I've actually experienced in one of her classes before, so I'm so excited that she's going to be sharing this with you today. I'd like to welcome Denise Lynn. Denise, welcome.
Thank you so much. And I am still laughing about the kangaroo and the bag. And it reminded me, I was so funny. I was in Australia once, and there was a mama kangaroo, and her baby was like, it was big. It was like, he looked adult. He was like half as big as her. And
right.
He comes running up to her, and he cannot fit in her pouch, so he sticks his head in her pouch.
Oh.
And the rest of his body is up, and then he falls asleep. He's
See?
Like, oh, my head. That guy is just so funny. Anyway, I'm just still laughing about that.
Thank you, Denise,
that.
For having my back. I'm not crazy. It is true. And it turned out okay.
And it's kind of like they can climb back into the womb, so to speak, you know,
because
right. they spend so much time there. Oh, that's wonderful. So sweet.
Yeah, so we all can have a bag. I mean, there's times that they're like, well, I need a bag, for God's sake.
Right.
Give me a bag.
Oh, absolutely. I could have used one this week, yes. Oh. You know, Denise, your experience, you know, that sort of shifted your life and took you on this wonderful, what turned into a wonderful mission to help change the world, was a traumatic one. And I know you've shared the story here before. Can you just tell us briefly what that near-death experience was that sort of opened you up to this other realm and helped kind of direct you on this particular path that you've traveled for so many years?
I will, but before I jump in, I need to clarify, I'm not trying to change the world. My journey is really, and I think all of our journeys are really for myself. And I'm really clear that anytime I teach anything, it's myself I'm teaching. But
right,
and I'm doing it for me. And it sounds like, oh my God, she's teaching spirituality. She's doing it for herself. Well, I think in no small way, there's nobody out there but you.
And
I had this realization when I was 17 and on a little motorbike. And we lived in Ohio, and my parents were scientists, so we were kind of raised atheist, agnostic.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm out on my little motorbike and just enjoying this beautiful August day, and a guy who I didn't know, actually he was a very bad guy who was killing people, he rammed into my motorbike. I slid off the motorbike, and then I'm laying on the ground like, why did he hit me? And I was in a lot of pain. Why? I didn't do anything to him. And then he comes back, and I'm thinking, well, he's coming back to help me. But instead, he pulls out a gun. And I don't know, Christine, have you ever been in those situations where everything seems to go really like in slow motion?
Yes, yes.
It was like slow motion, and the gun exploded, and he shot me.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was, in many ways, the worst day of my life, and in many ways, the best day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds crazy, like this crazy guy, he hit you with his car, and then he shot you.
Uh-huh.
And he actually was going to shoot me again. I was laying there after I was shot, and I heard him get out of the car, and I heard him walking across the gravel. And then I heard the sound of a zipper going down.
Oh, gosh.
And then, I know, well, he had sexually abused the woman that he killed after he shot them. So, and then, which is pretty horrific.
Yes, horrible.
But then I heard him cock the gun again, and I opened my eyes for some crazy reason. And to this day, I don't know why, but it saved my life. I wasn't afraid. I probably would shock.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't angry.
Uh-huh.
And all I felt for him was compassion.
Wow.
And how do you have compassion for a guy that hit you, shot you, and he's about to shoot you again?
Right.
But that's all I felt. I could feel, had a sense of his pain, his journey, his life, and I just felt this infinite compassion for him. And his arms started to shake, like I could feel he really wanted to shoot me, but he couldn't. And he just dropped his arm. It was like a balloon lets out its arrow at once, and he turned around and left.
Wow.
I was found, taken to a hospital, and there, they actually said I died. I mean, found out recently there was someone who was in the emergency ward, someone I'd gone to school with who had heard about it was in the emergency ward, and she said she was there when the doctors came out and said I died. I didn't know that.
But, oh, my goodness,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, I was dead. But I remember what happened. I remember leaving my body, and I'd never heard of near-death experiences, and we didn't even believe in God, so this was way out of my area of expectation even, sure, or knowledge, and I entered into this amazing, beautiful, peaceful, loving, radiant place. And even talking about it, I have that sliver of memory kind of catapults me back, and in a way, I couldn't even talk about it for years because it was such a profound experience because I was home.
Right.
That was my home. This, and it is, it's all of our homes. It was so familiar. This was the illusion, the dream, and I knew I'd been there before.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that, it was like, kind of, you know, when you're dreaming, it seems really real, and this really real, and then you wake up, and it was a dream. It fades away as you enter into the reality of waking life. Well, it was kind of like that. Mm-hmm. This, my earthly life, our earthly life, was the dream. And that was home. And here, you know, I talked about there's nobody out there. In that experience, I was aware that everybody who had ever lived, uh-huh, everybody who was ever going to live, everyone was there. And the crazy, weird, but at the time it seemed, I don't know, it didn't seem unusual, thing was that we weren't separate from each other,
uh-huh,
and we're one. It was,
yeah,
like but we were individual but one. And I my brain can't comprehend that,
uh-huh,
but I remember that. And when I say, you know, I'm not here to heal the world, I'm here to heal myself. I'm here to teach and learn and grow. And I love it when people, who are in my seminars, I love it when they step into that place for themselves. But ultimately, this is going to sound too selfish, ultimately I'm not doing it for them.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing it for me, but I do have that sense of that expanded sense of self. Like, really? There's nobody else out there. I know it sounds weird, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. And as you were describing the experience, you know, I was getting chills head to toe. And just getting the sense sort of energetically, vibrationally, what it must have felt like to have that somewhat conscious connection to the home that I think we all long for. And, you know, you could just be on your own journey and write in your journal and just shift for yourself, but you have to admit, Denise, you've written a few books, you have taught a few seminars, you've done a few radio and television shows to share your journey, which does have a profound effect on people. And I'm so excited about talking about this past life regression that you do. And we're going to have to go to a quick break. But when we return, I'm going to want to hear from you about why it's important sometimes for us to do this and how we can use information from the past to transform our lives today. More with Denise Lynn when we return here in a few moments.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health. From facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. or call 206-229-0086.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with best-selling author Denise Lin, and we are starting to talk about past lives. Now, when I was at Celebrate Your Life, I guess it was early November this past year, it was the first opportunity I'd had to actually see Denise teaching in person. And you know, so I went to this thing on past life regressions, and I had a really profound experience, and I'll share that with you guys later. But, Denise, I wanted to get your perspective on, first of all, how past lives fit into this realm that you were in where everyone is one, and why it can be important for us to sort of go back into the experience of a past life.
Well, one of the things I was aware of when I was on the other side, if you will, is that life is not a one-shot affair, that we have been here again and again and again.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why it's incredibly valuable to explore your past lives is because sometimes it's the only way that one can heal.
Ooh.
And sometimes people have, you know, if you're trying to mow over dandelions or get rid of your dandelions, you uh-huh. mow them over, they pop up. You
oh,
mow
sure.
them over, they pop up.
Yep.
It's because you never got to the roots. And sometimes the roots is in early childhood. But uh-huh. if someone has really looked at this life and gone back to early childhood and nothing changes, that fear, that phobia, that recurring, you know, problem or challenge that keeps coming up, or that habitual pattern, chances are it has its source in another life.
Uh-huh.
And literally, it's almost impossible to clear it and clear it forever unless you go back.
Okay.
And when you go back, simply going back and looking at the decisions you made, the beliefs that you adopted, and changing them. And I'm one of the few people in the world that successfully regresses up to 3,000 people at a time, and I do that fairly often.
Yeah, and it was a smaller group than that when I saw you, because it was one of the breakout sessions.
Yeah.
But there were a whole lot of people there, and I was not the only person who had a profound experience. You know, it was pretty uniform. So what is it you do to create that, the energetics, the you know, or whatever it is, to allow people to sort of step into that gateway of a past life?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what it is I do. My sense is that because I had the near-death experience, it's like something opened inside of me, and that comes into play when I'm doing the past life regression, because I'd say about 95% of the people get past lives in those group situations, and some people even have gone and found themselves. You know, they've done research and found, oh my God, you know, there was a person who lived here who did this, who was that, and that always makes me. Yeah, it makes me look good, but it's not my focus. My focus is resolve. That over and over again, I've seen people who had severe cancer, paralysis, people who were in wheelchairs who could walk afterwards, people, you know, one woman who came in blind because she had a tumor on her optic nerve, and during the course of, there was a large event, during the course of the event, the tumor receded, she got her sight back. 3 years later, she said that, she went to the doctor and said, we don't understand it, but it's going to come back. She wrote to me 3 years later and said, no, it's not there. It's gone. So it, so because those inner beliefs that we adopt, the inner experiences that we have chosen, and the decisions, the subconscious decisions we have made about who we are and what we deserve, they manifest in our life. And if you've taken, for example, a vow of poverty in a past life, and you... the vows we take in our lives are important. And so every time you start to get ahead, you lose it, because subconsciously you equate, you've taken a vow. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to dismiss your vow. So someone can go back, find that life where they took that vow of poverty and relinquish it. Just go back into the life and let it go and change it. I now take a vow of abundance. Money isn't bad or good. It's what you do with it. Or whatever it takes, and it can change someone's life in an instant. And that's why I love past life work. Things can change in an instant.
Wow, that's so exciting. So as somebody goes back into their past lives, like how do you sort of navigate them through it so that they access the information that's important?
You know, the higher self takes care of that. It's so interesting. Like, sometimes people come in and they come in with, you know, I want to push through, you know, I tend to sabotage my finances or I sabotage my relationships. They'll come in with something they want to clear. But often it's like something else takes over when they're relaxed. It's like the higher self or the soul takes over and says, you know, you say you want to work on finances, but honestly, you've got to deal with this relationship thing. So we're going to give you a life where you can deal with that. So it's like... that higher self takes over, and you get the exact life that you need.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I'm dying to not dying, but I'd love to hear what your experience was. If I'm dying, no.
Oh yeah. Well,
what was your experience?
It was interesting because, you know, it was a very busy conference, and you know, I was in there. I was been really busy networking with people and feeling just a little bit of stress, and then I saw you present, and it's like I felt this great ease because you are this powerhouse who also is just so very centered. And so energetically, I tuned in, and it's like, ah, you know, I can be comfortable here. And then you had them dim the lights, and we were just beginning the process. You had not actually taken us to go into that past life, and I was there. And it was like, the lights were dim, and I was being put inside this cave, and I knew that I was being put to death, and they were putting this big stone in front of it. And I looked down, I saw my feet, and it was kind of like, I don't know what you call the old garb, like, you know, sort of a tunic, like the kind of dresses that men used to wear, and this sandal with like one strap across. I saw my feet, and I knew I was being put to death. And, you know, as they put the stone there, the lights are dim too, so it's like dark in the cave and dark in the room where you're leading us through this. And I was having a hard time breathing. I'm thinking, what's going on here? What's going on here? You know, am I going to have to leave the room? And then you basically said, you know, now you go into a meadow or something along those lines. And I thought, okay, I can breathe. And so anyway, I saw myself as a teacher a long time ago, and you know, it was less about the information that I was communicating verbally and more about what I was communicating vibrationally. And I was a healer and a teacher, and I had people who were followers. And at some point, there was one person who's in my life now, I felt like they were really afraid of where this was going to go, that somehow they might end up losing their life, and they knew that somehow I was probably going to lose mine. And so, you know, you eventually led us to the death itself, and at that point, I realized that I was okay. You know, I had sort of resigned myself into dying. And then after that, and we sort of pulled up and, you know, sort of a higher level perspective, I realized that, you know, I've got a lot to share in this life. I've got a lot of teachings, and, you know, I've been working on a book, and there's just a lot to sort of have me move this forward in a bigger way. And I've been very comfortable teaching other people's stuff, but my stuff, it's like I've been a little bit more reluctant, and now I understand that that was a piece of it, that I had this fear that I was actually not only going to, you know, have people judge me, but it could mean, you know, I could die.
Yeah.
And so it was like this huge release when I realized the information I got, the message I got from my higher self was, it's just a warm-up. That was a warm-up. And now's the time, and that I was actually fully supported. So it was a very profound experience, and I feel like it shifted things dramatically for me. Not like, you know, okay, suddenly I can see, you know, it's not that sort of thing, but it kind of made me more empowered to step more fully into my own life.
I love that so much. So in that life, from that life, in the next life, you would come with almost like a subconscious belief, if I'm powerful, if I share my truth,
yes,
if I share my gift, I will be persecuted, I will be killed. And so
yes,
that subconscious belief would sabotage you. And now you're going to be teaching vibrational healing at the Women of Wisdom Conference. And I love that. It's like that place where that fear lay has dissolved. And
right,
in that dissolving, you now know that you can step out there and you can shine and be bright, and you will be celebrated instead of persecuted.
Right,
I love that.
Right. Yeah. And so it was such a beneficial experience. And I know that you're coming to Seattle at the I Can Do It conference, and you're actually going to be leading people through this exact same process. And I'm so excited. You're going to be here the weekend of February 13th, 14th. And so those of you who are in the Seattle area or thinking about coming to the I Can Do It conference in Seattle, you don't want to miss Denise's past life regression. We have to go to another quick break. This is just flying by, but more with Denise Lynn when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com. What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience, where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Denise Lynn, who's the author of a gazillion books. That's I'm a former mathematician, statistician. Gazillion is absolutely how many books she has out there. Denise Lynn. And Denise, we've been talking about the past life regression. I was just sharing about what a profound experience it was for me. So what is it that people need to know to sort of settle their minds before they get into this experience about a past life?
There's a couple of things. One is I have been doing past life regressions probably for 35 years. I've been teaching for pushing, I think, 44 years, but I've been doing past life regressions for a lot of people for a lot of time, and it is safe. It's really safe. It's fun, and it's easy. So, and then sometimes people say, but what if I'm making it up? Well, you know, honestly, we're making it all up. Big deal. Just be willing to make it up, because sometimes people come and say, they sit there waiting for Hollywood.
Right.
So I tell people, really, don't focus so much on having the you know, experience that you can tell people about in the cocktail party. Focus on the results you want. And so if someone comes focused on the results they want, willing to just have fun, enjoy the experience, they're going to get results. No matter, even if they don't experience them in that moment, in the weeks afterwards, they will. Was that the question you asked?
I think it helps sometimes because, although even with people who believe in past life, you know, past lives, they think, well, I can't do it, or, you know, I need somebody outside of myself to actually tell me who I was in a past life, and they have doubts. And yet it's just a very powerful experience you lead people through. And one of the interesting things about it, at least at the Celebrate Your Life conference where I attended, you had us get into small groups. And then, you know, each of us would focus, you know, after we went through this whole process, we'd sort of tune in with each person. What I found so fascinating is, you know, here we were, we didn't know each other, didn't know what our issues were, you know, didn't know where we went in our regressions. And yet, generally speaking, each of us were tuning in to what that person's past life had been about. And so it was this extra bit of validation, because somebody else could feel it, see it, hear it, or get some sense of it.
It is amazing. I often put people in small groups, and what I find is people who come to those events, so they'll be surrounded by strangers, but in the small groups, they'll often find that they've either shared a past life or they've all been at the same place at the same time.
Wow.
And it's amazing. I had one kind of well-known psychiatrist who'd written a lot of books, and she was in one of my large events, and she was in a circle. And so when she tuned in, she saw that she was a queen, and she thought, I don't want to tell people I'm a queen because they would, that's kind of arrogant.
Right.
And so, and she said, so in the circle, when the other people were tuning into her, one woman said, oh, my God, you were my queen. And the next woman said, I saw you as a queen, too. And she said, it was amazing. Like, every person said they saw me as a queen.
That's
great. I was going to say, I saw myself as a queen because, you know, well, cause, you know, people know her. And then she thought that, oh, well, she was, you know, I don't know.
But
I love that. And I love the amazing, I don't know, coincidences. I think in your seminar I talked about the woman who came, and I was teaching in Hong Kong, and a woman came, and she, there was a young girl there and an older woman. And to make a long story short, in a past life, that the woman was the mother of that young girl, and the young girl was going to get married. They were in a village, and the mother was going to get fabric for the wedding gown or something. But anyway, the mother left, never came back. So the girl felt totally abandoned, never saw her mother again. Her mother left her. So in this life, when they shared, and they both see the same life, so they shared the life. So the woman, the young girl was about to get married, and her mother had died.
Oh, dear.
So the old woman in the seminar said, I will take the place of your mother, and I will give way. So she hadn't been there in the past life. So in this life, she came back and fulfilled that role as the mother being there when she got married. I don't know if I told that well.
Yeah, no, it's magically orchestrated so that she had not only got to heal that pain from the seemingly, you know, being abandoned in the past life, but she got to have the support she couldn't get from her mother in this life. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
And then
in that life, she was, you know, her mother was going to be there at her wedding, and she wasn't there at her wedding. And so in this life, when she got married, her mother came to give her a wedding.
And they were sitting together at one of your conferences.
Yep. Isn't that amazing?
I
just love that. There's so many of these wonderful kind of stories. It just makes life that much juicier.
Yes. So when people have these experiences going back into their past lives, are they typically victims, or does it kind of, is it about like the pain of either being a victim or having something terrible happen, or are they sometimes remembering things about when they were doing something terrible to somebody else?
Yep. I mean, we've done it all. We've
been
the saints, we've been the sinners. And sometimes what will keep someone from being successful is maybe in the past life they had power. They were successful, and they kind of didn't use it in the best way. So there's this subconscious fear. If I become powerful, I will abuse power. So they continue to sabotage themselves.
Right.
And simply going back, and, you know, there's this expression, there's no victims, there's only volunteers. And when I first heard that, I got really angry because I was a victim in my life.
Sure.
But when we understand that everything that's happened to us, whether we judge it as bad or as good, was valuable for our evolution.
Yes.
Valuable for our evolution. And I remember the Dalai Lama says you don't learn humility from your friends. Meaning that, being humble is a valuable quality.
Right.
But we don't learn that from our friends. We learn that from those people that victimize us. But so even those people that did those bad things, on some level, they're all a part of this dance that we're in together.
Mm-hmm. So, Denise, can you go back and change something about a past life?
That you absolutely can, and that's the one area where I differ from most of the other people doing past life regression.
Uh-huh.
But I started doing this because I found that when you change, when you literally thought differently, when you experienced it differently, that a whole new set of beliefs begin to weave their way through history or through time.
Right.
And I believe you can change the past.
Uh-huh.
And like someone came and said, my photographs changed. I'm like, well, what happens is, like, how does a photograph change? Or one woman came and told me that the day after the seminar, she found, and she was working on her mother, and she changed some things in past life. She goes, next day, I found out my mother wasn't my mother.
Wow.
She said, I have a new moon. And so but usually you would never know it because, you know, even according to the laws of physics, literally you could take off in a rocket and come back before you left. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild stuff.
It's wild stuff. It's the theory of relativity.
Yeah. And also, we have, I mean, I've actually tuned into mine more than once. We actually have parallel realities. So if you think about how we're going about as, you know, like you're Denise Lynn in this life, I'm Christine Epcherich in this life, and we have other paths, other versions of the same person. Not like, okay, well, we're living on another planet, which might be the case, but like different choices lead to different paths. And so it makes perfect sense to me. It's kind of like as a soul, if we're focusing on one particular path and then we can shift something in the past, it just has us jump onto another path because that becomes our focus. So it, you know, although it sounds kind of wild and crazy and counter intuitive, you know, to our, at least to our rational intuition, it makes sense.
That's I don't care how weird it is. It works. If someone who had a very severe allergy, let's say they had a strawberry allergy, and they no longer had it, but they had a horrible phobia of, you know, I don't know, of spiders. You know, they're not afraid of spiders anymore. It's like, it doesn't matter to me how weird it is. If it works and the results, positive, loving results occur as a result.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, this is so great. We have to go to another quick break, but more with Denise Lynn in a few moments.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
like a comet blazing across the evening sky. Gone too soon.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Talking to Denise Lynn. And Denise, before we get any further, I want you to mention your website so that people can find their way to all of your wonderful things, your online programs, your upcoming conferences, your books, and so forth.
Thank you. Yeah, I will mention my website. Thank you for offering me that opportunity. It's Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E, Lynn, Lynn.com. And there is a wonderful healing, it's free, a healing portal on my website. And there are hundreds of healers around the world that send energy into that portal. You just open it up, and you just look in the very center of it and turn the music on. And it's amazing. Cyberspace can be sacred space. And I never thought that would be true, but so many people say, I use the healing portal, and I feel so much better. And also, if you're a healer, I would love you, if you can contribute to it, just send energy into it. You'd be sending energy to people around the world.
Yeah, I know that there are a lot portals. Of healers who tune into this show. So, yeah, that's great to contribute, because really we change the world on a vibrational level. And I know you say you're not out to change the world, but you are, Denise. You really are.
I do it because it makes me feel good.
Yes,
I'm doing it for so much reason. It makes me feel good. But not everyone can afford to go to a healer, but most people can get some kind of internet access, even at the library, and you open up the healing portal, and you can receive healing energy. And also, if you are a healer, like you said last week, please, I would love it if you'd be willing, just even for 20 seconds, send energy into the portal. And there, just know there are people, people in India, I get so many emails from people from various places around the world, and they say thank you so much for the healing portal. And there's chakra portals, too, if one of your chakras is out of balance.
Uh-huh.
We worked a long time to get the right colors, images, and sounds for each of those portals. So those are all available, too. But just for fun.
Wonderful, yes.
And, Denise, and other stuff, too.
Denise Lynn, DeniseLinn.com. Yes. So, Denise, I know that when you take people through the past life regressions, it somehow, through your guided words and through the energetics of it all, people find their way to the significant piece of what it is they need to bring into this life or heal from the past life to heal and to move forward in a new way. But during the process, at least when you were leading us through it at Celebrate Your Life conference, you had us face our death. Is there an important reason for when you do a past life regression going to that place of dying?
There is. In Western culture, we tend to, as a society, be afraid of death.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that until you can fully face your death, you cannot live fully. And I'm very fortunate that I'm not afraid of death because I had a near-death experience.
Uh-huh.
But when you can recognize that even though the body dies, you continue, that you are infinite, there's power in that, and it's liberating.
Uh-huh.
And it's mostly, like, people could say consciously, I'm not afraid of death, or they can say the words, but there's this gut response to and fear, and so it actually allows one to live more fully. It's like, it's like you put on a coat and take it off. That's what a life is like. Take it on, and then you put it off, and you go on to another one.
Right, right. That makes sense. So what do you think the fear is about? The fear of death.
It's the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's a place inside of each of us that we remember, I believe we remember who we are, we remember from where we came, but then there's that bigger part that is forgets.
Yes.
And so it's just the unknown. Moving up here, I was afraid moving to it. We've just moved from Southern California up to Northern California.
Uh-huh.
And everything's new. I was scared. What if it was a bad idea? What if we lose all of our money? What if, what if I regret this? And it's what is unknown. And I think it's human.
Yes. And there may be people, too, who have a sense of guilt and feel that they're going to be somehow negatively judged on that other side. And stories such as yours about the near-death experiences and what it's like on the other side, it's generally pretty darn good place, isn't it?
It's I would give anything for everyone to just have a glimpse, because in that moment there would be this remembering, and there was nothing that the entire energy of that place was love. There wasn't anything that was not love. And here our experience of love is so limited. It's like, I love you, you love me, I love pizza. I mean, there's always some kind of separation.
Right.
There was no separation. I mean, love just was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was who we are. And the Creator, God, is love, but we are love. There's just no separation between the Creator and everyone. The words, I have not found words to adequately describe that place.
Uh-huh.
And I know that it's already inside of each of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that so many of us have separated from that place within ourselves, and therefore have a lot of pain.
I think so, too. And even the most self-realized people or person, I feel there's deep inside there's this ache, and it's an ache for home.
Right.
It's an ache for that place.
Right. So do these past life regressions actually help sort of satisfy that craving a bit?
I think what happens is they begin to open the, just as that near-death experience for me opened something inside me. In fact, one of the things I've been passionate about is feng shui, and I was at a Barnes & Nobles and just taking people on a short guided visualization. They knew nothing about me. They just were there, and there was a woman talking about feng shui. And I just had them walk into their home and just kind of to sense the energy. And I remember two people came up afterwards, and they said, is it possible that we both got a past life? And they didn't even believe a past life. And I think it was because there's something inside of me that has that access. Well, when people come to those events, it's like a tuning fork. You get one tuning fork close to another, and it begins to vibrate. And I think that's what happens.
Right.
It creates that opening for the people in that event so that it makes it easier to connect to that, I don't know, that place.
Makes sense. I mean, I think of things vibrationally, you know, that's as an energy healer, I've just sort of learned to look at things in that way. And, you know, scientists are doing the same thing. So it makes perfect sense that if you've got somehow that vibration, that you entrain people that vibration to lead to that gateway to past lives. It makes so much sense. So, Denise, quickly, before we have to end the show, I'm curious, do people ever go into future lives?
Yes, we do that. I think we have so much stuff from the past to clear, but ultimately it's the future and the past and the present, and it's all the same thing.
Okay.
But it's really fun to go into future life. And I have so many stories, but anyway, it is something you definitely can do, and it's fun. You know, like, what should I invest in?
Like what?
Very practical. You know, what should I invest in? I've got a portfolio.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's fun. And the thing is, people say, well, what if I see something I don't like? The past is and the future are malleable.
Uh-huh.
So if you go into the future and you go, oh, I don't like that, you can change it. Just like if you go into the past and you find something like, that didn't work,
change it.
Literally, by changing the experience, you can change your destiny.
That's really exciting. And I think that's not exactly what we've learned growing up in this 3D world. So that's very empowering.
Mm.
So
yeah, it is. We're not stuck with our, you know, we're not stuck with the way people say we have to be or what, you know. Even, you know, your astrology will actually change when you begin to work in these realms.
Uh-huh.
Your astrological probability begins to change, which is kind of fun.
That's great. And I've talked to people who are palm readers and say, oh yeah, when you shift something dramatically, the lines
in your
hands shift as well.
Yeah,
which is so exciting. And I'm so glad you're going to be coming here again. I believe you're going to be speaking on, is it the 13th or the 14th? You are going to be speaking on Valentine's Day here in Seattle.
Yay!
At the I Can Do It conference from 1:30 to 3 p.m. You don't want to miss Denise's past life regressions. It's very powerful. And, you know, Denise, this hour has flown by. I want to thank you for joining us here. It's always a pleasure to connect with you. And I'm so glad that you got to share your wisdom with our listeners.
Thank you so much. And I just have deeply enjoyed my time with you and with Benny. And I just wish you both the very best and send you lots of love.
Okay, thank you. Love back at you. And love to all those of you who are listening. And I look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.